this program was recorded earlier.
In the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help. I'm Jeff Oliver here with author and speaker June Hunt. Well, June, as we deal with the COVID-19, the coronavirus crisis and pandemic we have going on now, a lot of people are asking questions, kind of scratching their heads, and where did this come from? How did this start? Mm-hmm. And you have some information for us, I think.
Well, I thought it would be helpful just to give some terminology. For example, wet market. What does that sound like? Sounds like it's rain. Well, no. A wet market is a market selling live fish, as opposed to, let's say, peas and beans and okra and, you know, other produce like that. Instead, it's selling live meat, fish, other perishable goods, as distinguished from the dry market, which is basically fabric, electronics. But what you have here is wet markets are very common in East Asia, Latin America, Europe. So we're not talking about just one place throughout the world. Now, there are those who are intent, insistent on the wet markets or even the Chinese wild animal industry and wet markets to be forbidden. And the reason, it's very interesting. If you can imagine, and of course researchers and those who study what is currently going on right now with infectious diseases. Wild animals that mix with more common livestock, like poultry, swine, seafood, they form a deadly combination, We're talking about what has been going on is like in Singapore. They have a periodical called Straight Times. They reported that 8 laws have just been passed in the last week dealing with wet markets. Details are not available at the moment, but I mentioned a number of days ago that the coronavirus that we talk about, I prefer to go on and say COVID-19 because what we're talking about, these coronaviruses, they cause, well, there's a severe attack to the respiratory system. And that's why many get, it's not just the flu. We're talking about like pneumonia, and it starts weakening certain body organs. And SARS, S-A-R-S, the outbreak in 2003 was traced to a wet market in southern it's China, and there was a temporary ban that was put on wet markets and the wild animal industry. Well, in July of that year, the world WHO, World Health Organization, declared that SARS was that virus was contained, and then in August the Chinese government lifted the ban. I'm just giving explanation, by the way. We are considered, Hope for the Heart is considered under the auspices of mental health and media, and so while many ministries cannot, if there's a ban on mobility, that's we have the ability to, as media, present helpful information that can inform the public. Likewise, we are a part of, we could fit into the classification of that which deals with mental health. Well, just to get an understanding, wet markets are found all over the world. Typically open-air sites selling fresh meat, seafood, and produce. But the meats are offered butchered, trimmed on site. There can be literally more infectious diseases, and there's a commingling of, if you will, livestock and a variety of wild animals, exotic endangered species, but they're considered quite unsanitary with the blood, the entrails, excrement, other waste, creating conditions for disease that can migrate from animals to human beings through viruses, bacteria, and other forms of transmission. So this is why it's important that we understand this is not healthy for the public, for human beings, and I would support a ban on wet markets. And I think for the sake of the world, you've just now seen what's been going on throughout the entire world. So we need to literally be wise in what we allow.
Hello, I'm Tanya, and I work with June to fund important ministry needs here at Hope for the Heart. Today I want to share with you that the CDC recently reported that in the past 10 years, teenage suicides are up by 76%. And 30% of our young adults are suffering with serious anxiety issues. It's so hard to say that out loud. What's driving the rise in suicides and anxiety? Is it social media? Online addictions? God's Word has the answers. June's teachings provide a roadmap to biblical hope. We have an urgent need to convert our print materials to online videos. During this broadcast, will you be one of three listeners to make a $1,000 gift to fund a video topic? Or be one of 30 listeners to make a $100 gift. We are a listener-funded ministry needing your help to rescue millions. Please donate at hopefortheheart.org or call 1-800-488-4673.
Would you like to talk to June Hunt about a situation in your life? Consider having that conversation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, and let June help you discover practical help that's grounded in God's truth. Your story will be heard on all of our radio affiliates, and of course, we protect your privacy by providing you with a different name. And as it happens often in our program, when you share your story, you might help someone else find biblical hope and practical help for their life. It's ministry multiplied. For an opportunity to talk with June Hunt on Hope in the Night about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or some other concern in your life, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-644-4817. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call tonight. 800-NIGHT-17. 800-644-4817.
Listening to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we'll get to our caller in just a moment. If you have questions or concerns, things that really worry you, quite frankly, about this crisis, this COVID-19 situation, you can call our care center now, and we look for you to access some resources that will help you and help you to help others. Just generally, we'd like to mention hope, the anchor for your soul, and just have the reminder that God is the true hope for us, and in any turmoil, in any situation in life. Also, chronic illness and disabilities, God's peace in the midst of pain may be helpful for you as you look there and find some principles that would help you through this situation. So I hope you'll access those. All you have to do is call our care center at 800-488-4673. More easily, it's 800-488-HOPE. And they can guide you to the right resources there that will help you and pray with you as well. And you can also email them with those titles or just to order them, or if you have any questions, that's customercare@hopefortheheart.org. Again, customercare@hopefortheheart.org with any questions and resources that are discussed in each program. We're going to get to our caller for tonight. She listens on the Hope for the Heart app, which you can access as well. It is simply Hope for the Heart. You can get that on your Google Play Store or on the apps store that you can get on the iTunes app, and you can access that as well. So she listens there, and you can do that as well. We have tonight Andrea.
Well, Andrea, welcome to Hope. We're so glad you've rejoined us.
I'm so glad you took my call, June. Howdy, how are you?
Great, thank you. So how can we help you now?
June, I've never been in a relationship with a narcissist before, and because of the things I've experienced, even though I don't want him back, I find it very hard and difficult to deal with the disappointment that things didn't work out as I had expected, and I should have really ended the relationship a lot earlier when we first started dating, within the first couple of months, when I saw the red flags early in our relationship.
What were the red flags?
It's a little, the red flags, there were so many. I'll just tell you a few.
Okay.
He has been married and divorced twice.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was the ex's fault.
Of course.
His reasons for both divorces were the same.
Mm-hmm. So he was always blaming someone else, never taking responsibility.
That's correct. That's correct. I noticed very, very early, sometimes when I talk, I like to take my time.
Mm-hmm.
He got very impatient with me once. You're taking too long to talk.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, I didn't know that. No one has ever told me that. But there were lots of red flags along the lines pertaining to his ex-wives. Sometimes conversations would go on for days and weeks and months just about them. She did this, and I didn't like this, and it was never about him. And when I would try to steer it back, well, what about you? You didn't have any role in this. It takes two.
Mm-hmm.
I would get things. I mean, I would have to really press him for details. And initially in the relationship, just a little disclaimer concerning the red flags, I didn't know that he was a narcissist.
Mm-hmm.
I found that out later on, closer to the ending of the relationship when I ended it, when I decided to walk away. So, June, here's the irony. Even though I do not want him back, I absolutely do not want him back, based on his emotional, spiritual, or financial instability issues, I also realize that I've had some difficulty moving on because I need some clarity from a biblical perspective about narcissism or narcissists who claim to be Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Coming to terms with my codependency, my loneliness, and desiring to be remarried at some point, and wondering if we will ever reconnect. And concerning that point, the only reason why I put that out there, someone brought that to my attention, well, just because he's not right for you now doesn't mean he won't ever be. But that person that told me that did not know he was a narcissist.
Mm-hmm.
And understands nothing about narcissism. So, should I really be thinking along these lines, given how I was mistreated and manipulated? Since I've ended the relationship, I've been on a seesaw. I blocked him, unblocked him several times. However, God works in mysterious ways, June, and thanks be to God. A lot of people have been very kind and caring and considerate and praying for me, including your lovely staff. I have to give God all the praise. The concerned and committed prayer warriors. Through these prayers, I feel led by the Holy Spirit to permanently block him on my cell phone and not regularly attend the same church where we're both members, unless the Lord tells me otherwise, for the sake of my own spiritual and emotional sanity. So that's where I am, Jim.
Let me ask, just out of curiosity, not to delve into this, but do you have children?
I do.
Do you have a daughter?
I do.
Would you want her? By the way, I'm going to ask this first. Do you love her?
With all my heart.
You know, those were the exact words that I thought you might say. many moms, that's exact, and they are absolutely 100% accurate. With all my heart would be the response. Okay, would you want her to marry a man with his characteristics?
I absolutely, positively, 100% would not. And she doesn't like him either.
Okay. So if you would not want her because you love her with all your heart, I'm hearing that you would want to protect her every way possible from damage, from unnecessary pain. If you would not want that for your own daughter, you can imagine how she would feel then about someone who would treat her mother this way if she knew everything.
Yeah, she doesn't like him. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, one of the things that helps us is to try to sometimes put a scenario that we're involved in a different context. And you think about what you said you were interested in a biblical view of this kind of a relationship or this kind of a man and all. Well, I will tell you one of the most poignant and direct scriptures that exists. And it deals with pridefulness. A person who is a narcissist, it's all about me. I have to look this way. I must be perceived this way, even if it's not true. But I don't see myself, if I'm the narcissist, I don't see myself as being prideful. I'm right. See, it's, and therefore, it's not about trying to see, okay, what part did I play? No, I won't accept that. And that's based on pride. If you look at those five letters, pride, what is the middle letter?
Middle letter is I, June.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to do what I want to do because I want to do it. For as long as I want to do it. Do you get it?
Got it.
Okay. Now, the reason I mentioned that you wanted to know a biblical... you want to have a biblical understanding. You don't want to just go willy-nilly, as some people use a strange phrase, and just go and try this and try that. You already know the pain he has caused in your life and the lack of empathy, the lack of sensitivity, because narcissists are, that's just classic in terms of being a part of their lives. Well, the Bible says several places, same words, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Amen.
And the word proud is not, oh, I'm proud of you. You've worked so hard. You worked to get this degree or to accomplish this. No, this isn't that kind of proud. This is a negative. It's all self-focused. And so for God to say that he, well, since the Bible is so clear, and this is God's word, that he opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So for us to be prideful is an affront to the Lord. Because a person who's prideful is not interested in submitting to the true God of the Bible. And that is a problem. Because if you were hooked up with him and God opposes the proud and has judgment, if you will, against the prideful, guess who's going to be impacted? You.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Mm-hmm. I believe you.
Okay.
That's what his word says. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so this just helps us put put the cookies on the bottom shelf. In fact, when you look at the opposite, it would be humility. There's pride versus humility. Many times, even again, presented in the Bible. Proverbs 11, verse 2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. I'm going to repeat that. Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. Wisdom. Well, we want to be wise. Why? Because Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and haughtiness before a fall. Pride goes before destruction. Well, you've already experienced enough destruction. You don't need to sit around, play with fire, and get hooked again. You need to be set free. And we'll talk about how to do that.
If you grew up mistreated and maligned in a home where you never measured up, you may still not realize that your identity is in the Lord because of your relationship with Him. Even if you've been rejected by others, that's the message of Healing a Wounded Heart, a powerful Heart of the Matter series which includes a set of CDs, a powerful hope book, scripture memory cards, and more. You can order online at hopefortheheart.org or by calling 1-800-488-4673. That's 1-800-488-HOPE. We've all heard about codependency, but we may not know all the things on which people can become dependent. Codependency, Balancing an Unbalanced Relationship, is a wonderful Heart of the Matter series that can help you identify a misplaced dependency and live each day dependent on God to experience His perfect peace. Order by calling 1-800-488-HOPE to receive a set of CDs, a hope book, scripture memory cards, and more. That's 1-800-488-HOPE or online at hopefortheheart.org.
Have you ever felt pressured to do something you really didn't want to do? You hear it in the expectations that another person has of you. It sounds something like, come on, you're the only babysitter my kids will stay with. Or, if you loved me, you'd do this. The result is the same. You'll be the puppet because someone is exercising the kind of control over you that only God should have. Discover the methods of a manipulator, recognize the mindset of those who manipulate, and learn how you can break free from a manipulator's power. It's all in June Hunt's mini-book, Cutting the Strings of Control. Order your copy today at hopefortheheart.org or call our Hope Care Center at 800-488-4673. That's hopefortheheart.org or call 800-488-HOPE. Take that step to change the course of that manipulative relationship today.
You're listening to Hope in the Night, a ministry of hope for the heart, offering God's truth for today's problems. We are here because of your ongoing prayers and continued support of our ministry here. We thank you so much for that. I want to point you to resources that you may find helpful. Call our care teams. They're ready to hear from you at 800-488-HOPE, and they can guide you to God's hope through our resources. We'd recommend Critical Spirit, Confronting the Heart of a Critic, also Codependency, Balancing an Unbalanced Relationship. That number again, 800-488-4673. Now, if you'd like to speak with June about a specific situation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-NIGHT-17. When you call, just follow the prompts, leave us a good message, and we will call you back from a Dallas area number. We'll call you back on a 972 number. We're not robocalling, but we are just trying to get back in touch with you to schedule you for the next available Hope of the Night. So leave a message, expect a call back, and then we will call you and set that up. The number again, 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-644-4817. Let's get back to our call now with Andrea.
Well, Andrea, I think it might be helpful for you to even hear it would be kind of like a diagnostic explanation of a narcissist, because whatever drew you to this man, you don't want to have a repeat performance, do you?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
But yet, are you familiar with the fact that there are people who are victims of domestic violence? And here's this wife, and she experiences this terrible abuse. Let's say he decides he then just leaves her, goes off, and so she remarries. What kind of person do you think she remarries? Somebody who is an abuser. So I'm saying this because I think you need to make a decision. No, I will not allow myself to be vulnerable to a man or you know, anyone who is so prideful that already God is opposing this person. There will be disaster. There will be destruction. But just listen very quickly, and we're going to go on and talk about another significant word that you mentioned. You said codependency. But right now, for the moment, a narcissist has a grandiose image of himself, of his self-importance, and exaggerates achievements and talents and expects to be recognized as superior without the ability to even accomplish or do what he or she says and touts. Narcissists are preoccupied with their image or fantasies of unlimited success and power and brilliance or some ideal, even ideal love. They believe they have special uniqueness, special in a way that it's like only people like me can understand us. You know, it's like you'd never understand. There's this, it's like, I am special. I have this high status. Or by the way, they could be very impressed with institutions of high, like reputation. And they like for people to know, they like to impress people. They try to impress people. And they require excessive admiration. If you do not admire continual praise the narcissist, then you will pay in some way. By the way, they're very entitled. It's like if I'm a narcissist, I have a sense of entitlement. I should have special favors. I should be treated in such a way that other people should immediately comply. You should comply no matter what. And it doesn't matter your limitations. I know best. Did you understand this mentality? It is very unhealthy. It is very difficult. You know, at times I definitely felt my father was a narcissist because it didn't matter what was even evidence. It's like even if he was proven wrong, he would not admit it. And that was one of my most difficult things. So I think I was a product as a daughter of a narcissist where everyone was always... I never once heard him admit wrong. I never heard him admit guilt. He said, wow. I'm not a Christian. I don't have to go by Christian ethics. And he didn't. So I in my heart of hearts, sweetheart, I would try to protect you as much as is humanly possible. Because there was the wake of people who left my father's presence. And I said, Mother, what did you do? The way he would attack people, the way he would treat people. How did you handle this? And she said, Honey, I just felt I just needed to be there to pick up the pieces. I never forget that. It's like that was her role, to try to make things as best as possible in light of the shatter. It's like shattering people. I mean, being attacked. Why? It was just, and I could give you examples, but I think I have an idea. You already have your own examples. So it's a pervasive pattern of either grandiosity, the need for admiration, lack of empathy. Lack of empathy. Uh-huh. And usually it actually begins in early adulthood. And it's not, you know, my personal belief is, yes, anybody can change, but they don't see the need for themselves to change. You know, I'm fine. And so it's much, much harder for a person who's a narcissist to come to true healing because they do not see the need. They are superior anyway. And it is, so do you understand why you need to protect yourself all the more from being in any kind of relationship like this?
I do, June, and because of my codependency, and I think that's where you're headed next, because of my codependency, I have a need for attention. I have a void from my childhood that my father did not meet. He never told me I was attractive. He never told me I was pretty, bright, and intelligent. And my ex-boyfriend said these things. He saw a weakness. He capitalized on it very well. But I wanted things to work for me, it wasn't necessarily about him. So the irony there, the additional irony in all of this, it really wasn't about him because I knew he was wrong. But I was getting something that I never got.
Yes. So he was smart enough to understand what your need was, and therefore he found a way to tap into that and literally make a difference in terms of, at the moment, he could gain favor. Correct?
He did. He did. And June, I'm struggling because how do you move on from the pain? Ironically, I feel some guilt because I know now what I didn't know then. But I was a part of the problem. I enabled, I forced the relationship. I saw the red flags early, but I just got into this rationalization thing. Okay, maybe he'll get counseling. He'll change. If he really loves me, he'll do this. Mm-hmm. And I went through that little seesaw. But as I began to see his sense of entitlement, no respect for boundaries, unhealthy communication, I began to say, wait a minute, I can't fully trust him.
Right, and you can't.
He kept on going on about his ex-wives. I'm thinking, he's telling their business. So I need to hold back on some things that are really important to me because he's going to tell my business.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Very interesting. Yes. But see, a codependent person is a people fixer. And they see that they can meet the need. And so they're determined to give it their all. And they become, if you will, not just committed, but obsessed over, I am the one who can make this different.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is then it's like there's a kind of looking to the other person in a way that I am needed. He needs me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes me feel good about me. In other words, let me put it in a different context. You mentioned the Bible. When God gave his Ten Commandments to us, he began with these words, "You shall have no other gods before me." That's in Exodus 20, verse 3. You see, he knew that if we would make our relationship with him our top priority, he would bless our lives, and he would bless others through us, and we would be a blessing to others. The primary problem with codependency is that it violates the heart of God's first commandment, because in a codependent relationship, you allow someone else to take the place that God alone should have. You allow another person to be your God. Now, you don't say that out loud, and you don't even think it that way. But if you have a misplaced dependence, which that's what you've had, you will have neither peace with God nor the peace of God. But when you put the Lord first, living dependent on him, not dependent on some other human being, you will have God's peace, even when people are not peaceful toward you.
Just what is verbal and emotional abuse? In her Biblical Counseling Keys on Verbal and Emotional Abuse, June Hunt lists 7 words that hurt. And if you're not sure you could identify or deal with these 7 deadly characteristics of abuse, you'll want to order our information-packed Heart of the Matter series, Victory Over Verbal and Emotional Abuse. You'll learn how to act and react in a healthier way and how you can be rescued from the endless heartache of abuse. Victory Over Verbal and Emotional Abuse includes a complete set of CDs or audio cassettes, a powerful hope book, 10 scripture memory cards with holder, and more. Victory Over Verbal and Emotional Abuse is available from our website, hopefortheheart.org, or by calling 1-800-488-HOPE. That's 1-800-488-4673. 1-800-488-HOPE.
Some say hope is our most precious resource because everyone needs it. It pushes us to consider alternatives. It never gives up. It's what nudges us to speak up when there's every reason to be silent. It looks at the darkest circumstances and says, "This is not the end." Yet for some, hope is elusive. It's life's great escape artist. Where's your hope? Is it trampled under defeat? Is it buried in yesterday? In what could have been? Find true hope in the series Hope, the Anchor of Your Soul, from June Hunt. Order your copy of this practical biblical tool at hopefortheheart.org or call 1-800-488-HOPE and tell them that you want the series on hope. That number again is 1-800-488-4673. Order online at hopefortheheart.org. That's hope, the anchor of your soul.
In the night. I'm Jeff Oliver. We want to help you, and we want to help you help others. If you have questions about these or any number of topics, we do have over 100 keys for living that will address them. Call our care center now at 800-488-HOPE, and they can pray with you and help you access these resources. I want to mention boundaries, how to set them, how to keep them. Also, codependency, balancing an unbalanced relationship. For a little further read on boundaries, we would recommend as well the book. Those previous two were Keys for Living. Now the book is called Bonding with Your Child Through Boundaries, and a little bit different approach, a very helpful resource for you too in raising children. So any of those resources can be accessed again at the number 800-488-4673. Also listen for Hope for the Heart. It's our half-hour program on most of these stations. And next time, you know, we've all been victims of wrongdoing. While some people manage to face the victimization and find healing, others find it hard to let go of the hurt. June Hunt tells us that even when people and circumstances chip away at our self-worth, we're not powerless. Be encouraged. Help is on the way next time at Hope for the Heart. It's called That Was Then, This Is Now. And now, back to our call with Andrea.
Well, Andrea, if we're talking about codependency, let me ask you, what do you think that really means?
Well, that's a good question, June. Codependency, because I have your book. If I were to put it in my own words, I am relying on someone to feed me in an emotional way. But I should be relying on Christ, succinctly put.
Okay.
I'm relying on someone to give me something that the Lord should be providing for me as his daughter.
Well, let me tell you where the word first came into being. It is not an old word. It was only in the 1970s. When the word codependent was first used to describe a family member living, let's say it's a wife, living with an alcoholic. And the co part means with. So you, here you have someone who has a dependency, whether it's alcohol or any drug of choice, or there are gambling addicts, a person who has a gambling addiction, is losing money left and right, gets in trouble and all. Well, the codependent, if you will, and if I'm going to be stereotyping here, let's say it's a wife. Well, she's doing everything to juggle the family, anything to try to keep the kids in school, to get food, you know, just whatever this dependent person, a person who has a dependency, an addiction, again, this is how it started out. And then later, the word codependency came to describe the dysfunctional behavior of the family members that are all seeking to adapt to the destructive behavior of the alcoholic.
Okay.
So now everybody's either walking on eggshells, they don't want the anger to blast them, You know, because if there is someone gets excessively angry, that's why everybody's walking on eggshells, and there's not really healthy conflict resolution. It's like, let's say the wife says, oh, she calls the boss, his boss, my husband has, I think it's the flu, maybe it's just a 24-hour flu, but, well, he doesn't have the flu, he has a hangover. But she's lying to protect him, and she wants people to think better of him, so she'll make up things, she'll cover for him. So this is where the term enabler comes in. She enables the, if you will, going back to the alcoholic, to continue on with his alcoholism because she's lying. She's trying to make everything okay without drawing a boundary, without maintaining boundaries. And so, see, codependency involves being too dependent on someone or something that actually can't meet your needs.
Right.
In other words, we feel, oh, it feels wonderful to help somebody. It does. I mean, it feels wonderful if you have a neighbor and you can help that neighbor who really needs help at the time being. That's great. We feel grateful that we can help. But if instead there is negative behavior, let's say the son has is spending money on marijuana or whatever kind of drugs, and he's flunking out of school. I had a nephew who he had incredibly high IQ, but he barely made it through school, high school, because of the marijuana. And and yet, where is the boundary that the parents should be not only drawing the line on, but what is the repercussion that should be there? See, this is where codependents are people pleasers.
Mm-hmm.
People pleasers. And usually, since you wanted to know something really about this, and yes, I did want to mention it because you mentioned that you felt that you were codependent. So this is where a wife, well, let me say it this way. A husband can be excessively needy in how he relates to his wife, and the wife needs him to stay needy.
Mm-hmm.
Because that feels good to her if she can be his need beater. In fact, one time, in a way you can see it's a relationship addiction. If he needs help and you see where he's really blowing it all over, well, you, in this case, you see how your boyfriend has really, he's not helping himself with all these extreme positions and the way he treats people, so you're going to help him. You're going to be his savior. You're going to be his rescuer, his fixer.
Mm-hmm.
And see, as long as you hold to that position, by the way, if you are the real meat eater, he doesn't need God.
Right.
So you're taking the place that God alone should have. You are not designed to meet all of anyone else's need. In other words, you're not the need meter. We can help people. We can benefit, etc. But there's a point at which we can delay the work that God would do in another person's life if we're so busy trying to prop that person up, instead letting that person experience the consequences of their own negative behavior.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
So, and in fact, since we're even, since I use the analogy of the alcoholic, the interesting thing is, here is this wife working so hard. She's the codependent. She's with the dependent one. She's trying to keep all the balls in the air, you know, juggling all the plates. And she feels good because she knows, oh, without me, this family would fall apart. Well, let's say then he gets treatment and there is a spiritual intervention and he no longer is dependent on alcohol. Guess what happens? She no longer has a job of fixing him, and she's the one who gets the divorce. I never will forget when I first heard this years and years ago, that it's only when in alcoholic homes where there's one alcoholic, it's when he gets sober, then all of a sudden she's lost her job. So it upsets the apple cart as far as she's concerned. And I mean, this—I just never will forget it. And I've tracked this over the years. It stays the same. If there's going to be a divorce, it'll be after he's sober or she's sober. Does this make sense? Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Oh yes, I do. I do. Mm-hmm. You're addicted to the person's problem and the need to change and fix them
the way you
want them to be, the way they should be. I've gone through this, and it's amazing how the mind works. I kind of feel guilty that I did this, and I did apologize to him. I did say, you know, I saw red flags early in our relationship, and I should have ended the relationship, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, sweetheart, many times we don't know. I mean, we can think we're doing right, and then all of a sudden you can get into another relationship that's like this, and you think, wait a minute, same song, second verse. Or the person comes back and says, oh, please forgive me, I'm so sorry, I'll never do it again, whatever it was. And then they do it again. And we get hooked. We don't see reality. So this is the best thing to do, is to learn what is true and to say, okay, I've got to change. I must not live for the approval of another person. I want the approval. I want the approval of my child, my parents, my mate. Yeah, yes, I want that. But I will not live for the approval. I'm going to live for God's approval in terms of I just will yield to his will. And when you quit being desperate, oh my goodness, that changes the dynamic. So what I can tell you is, like in a codependent, let's say an unhealthy codependent marriage, this is where this weak spouse would have this deep-seated need for security, continually looking for a strong spouse to meet all the needs. But that means that the weak one stays weak. And supposedly the strong spouse is supposed to have these deep-seated need for significance, but he's trying to meet all of, or she's trying to meet all of the needs of the weaker person in order to make the mate dependent on the relationship. No, this is unhealthy. This is why it's wonderful that you are determined. I'm, you know, been there, done that, not going to do this again. And through the wisdom of God's word, you will have so much. We're going to help you. We'll send you our material on codependency.
materials and past programs are available on our website at hopefortheheart.org. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope.